Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
We've been talking this last month about what it means to be this hamster on a wheel, struggling, chasing after the carrots of life, the things that pull us, the things that give us such strong desire, how we want to measure up, how we want to be like others, how we want to get that dream job, that promotion, that perfect friend. We were looking for so much stuff, and it's all a lure. We're just chasing carrots. We're just chasing, and it gets us nowhere. And so we've been just going through this. I've heard a lot of great responses to the messages, the things that we've been talking about, and the reality that we all have done this. We've all told ourselves that if we could just get this, if we could just achieve this level of success, if we could just get a little bit of that, that would satisfy the cravings of our heart. But we also recognize that in the moments that we get that, it doesn't accomplish what we dreamed or need it to accomplish. And so we're always left empty, and so we just chase again after more, after more, after more. So we started this series looking at fame, what it means to become famous, and that is like this drive in our society now to somehow do something that someone acknowledges and gets our name or our image somehow on a larger platform. We've talked about money and stuff and the pursuit for all of these things. We've talked about perfectionism and the drive to become perfect. Just is this elusive trap in our life. Next week, we're going to conclude our time together, and we're going to meet this great couple. This is Mike and Jamie Askew. They are missionaries now in the Dominican. They got to the Dominican about 3 days ahead of our group, so they were still getting accustomed to what was going on. They were missionaries in Haiti, and when Haiti started to kind of fall apart, if you followed this news at all, their government is just kind of falling apart. They got out of Haiti quickly and came to the Dominican. They're back in the States to kind of get now their Dominican paperwork all set. And they'll be with us next Sunday. So we're going to talk with them about what it means to live a life of comfort. Because I think we get so convinced that in our life is supposed to be easy and comfortable. Our entire economy is driven with this idea of comfort. And so we're going to hear from these great people about what that looks like. And how we need to recover from that a little bit. You'll notice in the bottom corner here it says love offering. We will be receiving a love offering for the Askews. And so we ask you to not only give generously as you would normally, those of you who call this your church home, but to come ready to bless this couple and all that they do. And that might sound ironic when we're going to be talking about comfort, but I'm telling you, they live a life that has surrendered a lot of the comforts that you and I know, and we want to bless them in any way possible. So come prepared for that next week. Hey, as we consider this pursuit of more and more and more, we're going to consider what I believe to be a very significant trap in our culture today. It's the trap of needing to be accepted. The trap that just drives us relationally to be accepted by the people around us. Dr. Harriet Breker is a individual who was a world-renowned clinical psychologist for more than 25 years. She died tragically in 2005 from pneumonia. But before her death, she had published countless books about looking at the stress in our lives, particularly the stress found in women. But she recognized that there is this obsessive need within many to be accepted, and she called it the disease to please. I like that phrase when I read it, the disease to please. It just kind of resonated with me, and I grabbed a hold of what that meant. She identified many internal and external addictions in our life. And when we talk about addiction, we'll often talk about alcohol, we'll talk about drugs, we can talk about sex addiction, we can talk about food addiction. But she was talking about an addiction that is driven by our need to be accepted by others. And so she talked about a totally different personality type than I had ever heard. We've heard of type A before. Some of you are type A. I've been accused of being type A. I think type A is perfection. Just kidding. Type A people are individuals who are sometimes outgoing, they're ambitious, they're rigid, they're impatient, they're anxious, they're proactive, they're concerned about time management, they're getting everybody in line, right? They're kind of the bossy people sometimes. She talked about type E. Type E personalities are the people who have this craving within them to be everything to everyone. a craving within them to be everything to everyone. Now, her work pioneered this thought in the lives of females, but I got to tell you, in our society today, we are not, guys, immune to this idea at all. I saw this phrase and I thought, that is absolutely something that I can identify with. When we live our lives constantly seeking the need for acceptance or affirmation from other people, it causes a thought process deep within us that has significant impact in who we are. Maybe you've asked yourselves these questions when thinking about a relationship you have. Do they like me? Yeah. You meet someone, you're instantly thinking, do they like me? You might have a friend and you're trying to reach out to them via text or email, and you ask yourself, why haven't they responded? Most of us who have teenage kids go, why haven't they responded, right? Do they like me? Are we good? Do you approve of me? Why haven't they initiated the conversation? I feel like I'm always the one initiating. We have this thought process. Women struggle with this maybe more than us guys, but we would ask, or they might ask, you might ask, do you like my outfit? Do you like my hair? Guys typically ask, do I have hair, right? Is that a problem? Am I doing my job to meet the approval of my boss? And so if you have a boss, you might ask yourselves, am I doing things exactly the way they want? You might be a person that's struggling with this and you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. And so you say yes to everything. The Boy Scout comes knocking on the door and they're selling magazines and you don't even like to read, but you buy a magazine because you don't want to hurt the little kid's feelings, right? The girl comes knocking on the door. She's selling cookies. You started a diet 2 days ago. You buy five of them, right? Because you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. You just want everyone to love you and to accept you. This is what the constant feeling of affirmation drives us to, a feeling of anxiety, stress, and sometimes it even leads to deep depression because we just don't know if everyone loves us. Last week we talked about perfection, and we talked about how even Scripture sometimes doesn't help us in that, because in Matthew 5, Jesus is quoted as saying, be perfect, right? Do you remember that? We were saying, Jesus even said, be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. And we're like, okay, thanks, Jesus. That doesn't help any of us because you said we got to be perfect and none of us feel perfect. So Scripture does the same thing for us today, because Paul in 1 Corinthians kind of gives us this picture that he strives to be everything to everyone. He said it this way. I'm going to read it from the Message paraphrase. Even though, he said, I am free of the demands and the expectations of everyone, I voluntarily have become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. The religious, the non-religious, the meticulously moralist, the loose-living immoralist, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. Paul writes to the Corinthian church saying, man, my job is to become all things to all people. That's the translation that I memorized of this or remember of this particular verse. I want to become all things to all people, but the motive is clear, so that I may reach some. He says that in this passage, I want to get in the lives of everyone I come in contact with the effort of being able to be accepted by them so that I may talk to them about Jesus. Now, that sounds great, but when we're talking about being people who are constantly trying to be accepted by different crowds of people, it sounds exhausting. I don't know what it sounds like to you, but it just sounds to me utterly exhausting. See, the reality that to please everyone, that disease to please, is really a trap. It's a trap. Solomon speaks about it in Proverbs chapter 29. He says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. He writes about it in this way, that fearing people, fearing what they think about you, fearing what they if they like you or not, fearing people is a trap. But if we just put our trust in God, you'll have safety. Fearing people's opinions of you, their desires of you, their acceptance of you, all it does is it pulls you from their thoughts of you, what they want you to do, what they want you to accomplish. It's just pulling you around and around. Now, the image is pretty clear, because in the Hebrew language, the word that Solomon used for trap, some of your translations may say snare, that word is mokish. It's a word that literally means a noose for catching animals or a hook placed in the nose of an animal. So we get these pictures in our mind. This is a noose that is used on a dog. This is going to make some of you have nightmares just to see this picture right here. It's a noose to say, I've got control of you, and it keeps them at distance. this nose ring on this bull here is a way of saying, I'm going to direct you. When this is the situation, the animal doesn't have a choice where to go. The person on the end of the noose or the person that's pulling on the nose ring has the control. The trap that Solomon is speaking about in this proverb is one that says, when you give in to the idea that you need to be accepted by everyone, all they are doing is pulling you where they want you to go. And that is not good. Who wants to be just driven by other people all of your life, right? This is a dangerous, dangerous trap. Sounds to me like a huge, like a miserable existence. But I got to be honest with you. When I thought about this, it's something that I think I can easily say I struggle with. This idea that I want to be liked is real. Especially as someone whose occupation is to stand in front of you and to deliver a message every Sunday, I want you to like me. As a matter of fact, Joel did a great job. Joel LaGore today posted on our Facebook wall at the church and said, great message today. He's fueling my desire to be liked, to be accepted. I want my messages to connect with you, that you would respond to them, that you would think, how awesome is that? That is this trap inside most pastors, that they want you to like us. On Sunday afternoon, it wouldn't be uncommon for me to open up Facebook and to scroll through and just kind of hope, who posted about the message today? Who commented that God spoke to them today? Is there anybody that's commenting about how good church was today? That is a trap. It's a ring in my nose. It's a noose around my neck. I'm just being honest with you today, that is something that can grab a hold of me. This weekend, our house is full of college kids, and it's been awesome. I've learned that I really like the empty nest, but when it's full when it's full again, it's awesome. And I will say this: they're here today, but I'll say this: college boys don't always think the clearest, right? And so, one of them brought home a bottle about this big of something called the bomb. Now, the bomb, if anybody says bomb, do you go check that out? You're supposed to run, right? This liquid is called the bomb, and the idea is it's a super hot sauce. It says right on the bottle, use one drop at a time. So we had pulled pork on Friday, and because my drive to be accepted by college boys, I tried four drops of the bomb. I couldn't feel my lips for a half an hour. And they were looking for this great response of me running around the house like a crazy man. And, you know, Keegan and I both tried it, and we were calm. We stayed calm, but inside we're like, dude, we need milk, and we need it now. We were mowing mac and cheese. We were full, but the cheese just kind of soaked away the pain for just a minute. That stuff is crazy. You know why I did it? Because I just want to be the coolest college father that has ever walked the face of the earth. I mean, you smell the bomb and it smells like a musty hotel room. That's the best description. It was awful, and it tasted just like I was licking the carpet of a Motel 6. Terrible. And I knew this. But the drive to be accepted made me eat that stuff. That was the worst 24 hours of my life. Now, here's the problem. The drive to be accepted in my role as your pastor sometimes causes me to do the opposite of what God has called me to do. My job, if I can be just brutally honest with you, my job is not to make you like me. My job is not to give you a message that makes you walk out of here feeling so good. See, my job, what God has called me to do, is to speak truth. And sometimes, friends, the truth will sting a little. Sometimes the truth will cause you to not feel your lips for a half an hour. Sometimes the truth hurts. And if I craft my message ignoring the truth just so that you feel better and like me, then I've done all of you a disservice. The fact of the matter is, my job is not to make you like me. My job is to speak the truth of God. You ever wonder why the prophets of Israel, most of them were killed? They don't tell us that in the first ministry classes when you sign up for this. they were killed because the people of Israel didn't like the message. They didn't craft the message. The message came from God. And as they proclaimed it, the people would refuse to repent. Instead, they said, quiet the messenger. Now, in our modern society, we would never kill a pastor, right? I have a feeling a couple boys tried on Friday night. We wouldn't kill a pastor, but you know, if I have a couple of colleagues, some friends of mine that have been on the run because they refused to craft a message that would make their congregation feel better. Instead, they refused to do that. They spoke the truth. And when they did, the congregation, like Israel, refused to repent and instead didn't kill them, but they ran them right out of town. Have you ever heard of a story like that? Been a part of a story like that? It's no different than the people long ago. Thank you for not being that way here. As followers of Christ, we cannot be consumed by what others think about us. That cannot be the driving thoughts in our lives. Now notice, I did not say as Christians. I said this very intentionally. As followers of Christ, there are millions of people parading our country, our city, but millions around our country who are labeling themselves Christians but refuse to live a life that models Christ. You can label yourself Christian and refuse to live a Christ-like lifestyle. That's your choice. What I'm talking about is the true followers, the true disciples of Christ. We cannot allow our lives to be consumed by being liked or accepted by other people. We have to literally build our lives around the living God. We have to be people who put ourselves before God's Word, His Holy Spirit, and live a life that is accountable to that and that only. This can't be a theory. This can't be a good thought that makes me feel good for a moment on Sunday morning. We have to live this out. We have to be people who are willing to embrace His will, His purpose, and exist for His glory and His glory alone. This is what it means to be a true disciple of Christ. And I'll be honest with you, when we live this way, it will cost you something. It will cost you a ranking of popularity. It may cost you a friendship or two. When you are unwilling to allow the desires of other people to pull you around, it may cost you. Paul was worried that the message of Christ would become so popular that the people would make it easy to understand, or they would make it, a better way of saying it, is to twist the gospel into such a way that it would be more palatable for the people to hear. And so Paul spoke warnings about this. As he's sharing the gospel, he's speaking warnings about what this could sound like. And so he says in Galatians, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, he wrote, I would not be Christ's servant. Now, this might sound like in steep contrast to what he wrote in Corinthians, where he said, I'm trying to become all things to all people, right? But remember, his motive that he was writing to the church in Corinth was that I might reach them, that I might teach them. What he's saying here is actually in response to some Judaizers in the Galatia province that were accusing Paul of being a sellout. They're saying, Paul, you can't talk about the freedom of the law. You can't throw away the law of God. You can't just run away from that. They called him a sellout. And you know what his response was? Call me whatever name you want to call me. I'm not here to gain your permission. I'm not here to gain your approval, but the approval of God. As a matter of fact, he goes so far as saying that if I listen for your approval, then my entire message is negated. If I'm only your servant, then I'm not a servant of the God who's called me. Now, when I read this, I thought about 25 years of ministry. And I thought, my goodness, there have been times where I've thought of myself as your servant way more than I've thought about thinking of being his. I've thought about that I'm here to serve this church, this earthly portion of the kingdom of God. And I've put that in my mind much more firmly than I thought about being servant of the living God. And I felt the conviction of what Paul was trying to teach us in this moment. So I want you to stop and ask yourselves, as I had to stop this week, who do you serve? Just ask yourself just for a moment. When you think about your week, when you think about your experiences at school or at work or in your free time, who do you serve? Are you chasing after the acceptance of others? Are you looking for the approval of someone else in your life? Or are you being driven by the faithfulness required to follow after God? Teens that are here today, I want you to be honest with yourself in your assessment. Be honest. Who are you serving at school? Who are you longing to represent in the hallways? There are many singles among us here today. The longing in your heart for belonging is significant, and it's so significant that it will cause you, if you're not careful, to compromise for the sake of belonging to someone. Married couples, there are plenty of places that you will compromise your faith in order to be accepted. Be honest with yourself. Who are you serving? The ministry of Jesus reached many people in his brief 3 years. He walked the roads of Galilee and he taught powerfully. He healed miraculously. And John wrote in his gospel that many believed, but many more did not. But what I found fascinating about John's observation of walking with Jesus for these 3 years was a third group he'll identify here in a moment. So we pick this up in John chapter 12, beginning of verse 37, where he says, "But despite all the miraculous signs Jesus had done, most of the people still did not believe." And what John did with his training within his Jewish upbringing, he connected that to a prophecy that Isaiah had spoke 1,000 years before. And then we jump down to verse 42, where he writes, "Many people did believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders, but they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue." Listen to verse 43. "For they loved human praise more than the praise of God." They loved human praise, the praise of the people around them, more than the praise of God. They loved their position in society. They loved the clout that they had with their friend group. They loved what popularity brought to them more than what they could find in walking with Jesus. And when I read that, my first response, quite honestly, maybe it's yours as well, is how crazy is that? I mean, how crazy would you have to be to see the miracles of people being healed, to hear the powerful messages that Jesus was preaching, come to a place where you say, "I believe that's the Messiah," but not be willing to acknowledge that publicly? I think that's crazy. Until I reflect on a moment when I'm sharing life with some other person, and I know that the truth that they need to hear is found in God's Word, and I stay silent. I think that they are crazy until I realize that there are moments where I've compromised my own morality and joined in the off-color humor or given in to the slanderous conversation that I'm having with somebody else. Aren't I doing the same thing? Aren't I believing but afraid to live it out boldly? Maybe some of you have allowed your children to make decisions they just shouldn't make, but we let them make that decision because we want them to like us. I'm told they won't like us until they're 24. I don't know if that's true yet. I don't know how many of you have ignored the prompting of God within you to be kind to a perfect stranger, and you're thinking, "Well, that would be weird." Or maybe the prompting of God to be excessively generous to someone in need, and you've just ignored it. Aren't we then compromising our own faith because we don't want to risk our own reputation? How many of you have lost sleep over a reoccurring thought in your mind that someone in your life has an issue with you, that not all is good, and it keeps you up at night because it consumes you. Have you ever put in extra hours on a project? Not because you're trying to glorify God with your excellent work, but because you know there's someone in the room who you're trying to impress. And when you show up to work or you show up to class with the best looking project or the best way to solve the problem at your place of work, you're not doing it for the company. You're doing it to gain the acceptance of somebody. You pour all that effort into that so that somebody would be impressed by your greatness. See, friends, we've all bought the lie, haven't we? We've all bought the lie that if we're just good enough, our performance will somehow make people like us. I bought the lie through most of elementary and middle school, that if I could just be funny enough, people would like me. You know what it got me? A lot of time in the hallway. Anybody else with me out there? I found all the study rooms in middle school. Like, oh, here's a new space. I just got kicked out of class because I was being a smart aleck, right? I was trying to make people like me, to be accepted, and that drives us all the time. What we need to remind ourselves is that God has already accepted us. God is already in love with us, because this impacts even our spiritual lives. We think that if I just do enough, God might like me. The reality is God's already crazy about you. That's why He sent His Son to die for you, so that your sins could be forgiven, so that you could have a life of peace and wholeness and not be driven around by people's like for you, which is temporary, but that we would be driven by the love of God, the acceptance of God that is available for all of us. That's what we need to look at. So here's the thought I hope that you'll remember from today. What matters most in life is not what others think about you, but what does matter most is what God says about you. I want to stop caring less about what others think about me. And I want to focus my attention more on what God says about me. I'm tired of, maybe you're tired as well, of bending over backwards to gain some level of acceptance, some level of popularity, some level of love that feels elusive, because it is. It's a trap. And I want to focus more on what really does matter, what God says who I am. In your bulletin today, in your handout, there's a green sheet of paper that I was going to just mention some of these today, and last night I just felt prompted to type them up and get them into your bulletin today so that this would be something you could take home with you, put somewhere. We have a full page sheet version of this at the Hub. There's some copies of that. It's in color. This is also available where you would hear our audio message online. This is available in a PDF form to download as well. This might be something that you feel like you need to post at the office or somewhere strategically at home. Maybe you like this version. You can put it right in your Bible. You can put it in a devotional book you might be reading, like the Lenten devotional book you should buy after service or whatever. But you need to be reminded that you are not who others say you are. You are who God says you are. You are greatly loved. You are a child of God. You were bought with a price. Therefore, you belong to God. You are forgiven. You are free from the bondage of sin. You can be made clean. You are a new creation in Christ. You are a temple of the living God. And I tell you, you'll go down through this list and allow yourself, allow the Holy Spirit to show you what you need to hear for that day. Read this every day. Remind yourself of who you are. And don't be drawn around any longer by the whims of everyone else. Don't be pulled by the affirmations you may need or crave from other people. But be consumed by the love of a God who has already found you worth loving. The very last one on this list I struggled with. It's, you are capable. I don't feel capable. Maybe you need to hear something on that list today. Maybe you need to hear it tomorrow. Maybe you need to hear it a month from now or a year from now. But we need to be people who are no longer noosed by what other people think, but what God says. Because what I believe is this. I believe the approval of God sets us free from the disease to please. The approval of God will set us free from the disease to please. I want to ask you today, how's God spoken to you? How is He speaking to you now? Has your pursuit of acceptance of others distracted you or caused friction in your spiritual journey with God? Have you seen ways, as you've thought about this in your own life, that you've been guilty of valuing your reputation over the investment of deep and meaningful walk with God? How has your need, your craving to be accepted, interfered with your journey with Christ? This week, I want to challenge you to evaluate how you're investing your time and your energy. Are you constantly thinking about what others think about you? Or are you willing to listen to what God says about you? Are you driven to make others accept you? Or are you willing to find confidence in the fact that God already does love you and has accepted you and has died for you? I'm excited to see how God is going to shape your personal image of yourself through His Word. I believe there's someone here today who has been struggling with this because you have felt rejected by others, and maybe you have even felt rejected by God. There may be several here today who's here, and you have just felt the rejection so much that you don't find any worth or value in your life. Teenagers today, listen. The pressure for teens to be accepted demands so much from them. Teens, don't buy into that. Don't buy into the lie that says you have to have so many friends on your Instagram, so many people liking your posts. Don't give in to the lie that says you have to be popular. Today, God is pouring His love over you. My prayer is that you will feel it. You'll feel it abundantly. Basking in it is the way that you work yourself out of that drive to have other people like you. Today is the day that you can turn that struggle to be accepted in your life. You can surrender it to a God who loves you so, so thoroughly. He's already waiting for you. He's already calling for you. Whatever you've been giving into to gain the acceptance of others, you can surrender it. Whatever action you've been doing to gain other people's popularity, you can just give it up. Because God wants to do a work in you. God wants to use you as a message to your friend group. You don't need to party like that anymore. You don't need to do those things anymore. You don't need to laugh at those off-color jokes anymore. You need to be a child of God and allow Him to use you. Allow His acceptance to be something that God uses in your life in a powerful, powerful way. Would you pray with me? God, today as we conclude our time together, I pray for my friends that have gathered here, and I pray that You would hear their prayers that is just simply radiating out of their hearts in this moment. Hear Your people as they pray from the depths of their souls today, prayers of confession, and prayers of need to feel Your love and acceptance. Help us today, God, to live more for You and less for us. Show us the cravings of our life that are causing us distance between You and us. Reveal to us how we need more of You, God, and less of us. Reveal to us today, God, how we need more of Your presence and less of our wants and desires. May that truth be so. We long for You and You alone. We need You and You alone. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.